Are you ready? California. It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome, everybody, to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let me say this again, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd here in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. Mr. Wally joining us here on the Double, making a long trip down the I-5 corridor from Western Washington to Northern California. Mr. Wally, on the Double once again. How you doing, man?
What's going on? That is right. Saw every inch of I-5 from Kelso, Washington to the EG Studios here in Elk Grove, California, reuniting the Double S Express in the same studio for the second time in 2 months. Good to be here.
Well, you know, people might ask, well, you know, what did we have to do for you to bless us with your presence here in Northern California? For our listeners out there, there is a big game this week. And it's not this weekend, it's this week. Of course, Thursday Night Football in America on the NFL Network. And of course, the Seattle Seahawks invade Santa Clara / San Francisco to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Both teams trying to find their identity, Sean Wally.
Shall we call it the Battle of the Cellar in the NFC West?
Well, you know, I won't even go that far. You know, it's just two teams trying to find their identity. You know, I would say two ships passing, but they're heading in the same direction. You know, you're looking at two teams a couple of years ago that were in the NFC Championship. Of course, Seattle in the Super Bowl last year. These were the two top teams in the NFC West. And my goodness, they're just trying to figure out what's going on. And we know the story with Seattle. There have been injuries. There have been holdouts. There have been disgruntled players. You know, and then you look over here in Northern California and San Francisco, there has been an exodus of players, a total of 20 that have left the San Francisco 49ers. Five have retired. And God, who saw this coming a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it's been a quick tumble out the gate to start the 2015 season for both teams. Of course, you look at the 49ers week one, they play like gangbusters and shock everybody with a great performance. But since then, it's been a rough battle for them, although they did get the win yesterday, as you saw firsthand, over the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, you know, San Francisco, the way things have been running, Jim Tomsula it's been an uphill battle. Of course, you know, you have Jim Harbaugh leaving, going to Ann Arbor, and doing an excellent job, by the way, outside of getting snake bit this past weekend with Michigan State. But, you know, there's been that. There's been the murmurs of management, upper management, with Jed York, you know, not understanding what he needs to do to build the team. And then you have Seattle. You know, of course, the season starts, and they take one on the chin to St. Louis, but they played well. And then now they're trying to figure out how to actually close out football games. And what I mean by that is they've lost four games in the fourth quarter. And, of course, their record being 2-4. You know, I think that it's a great time for both teams. This should be the game of the week, Sean, for Thursday, because both of these teams, as you're mentioning, San Francisco coming off a win against Baltimore, Seattle trying to get that mojo back. It's going to be a great game, man.
Yeah, Sean, the Seahawks have only allowed just over 9 points the first three quarters of every game this season. The fourth quarter, they're allowing over 10. What the problem is, why they're not finishing, it's a head scratcher. It's baffling. Even Pete Carroll is a bit flummoxed right now to figure this out.
Well, you know, when you talk to the Seahawks faithful, they can't really pinpoint it as well. They're saying, you know, maybe it's the offensive side of the ball. We have to beef up the offensive line. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, Darren Bevell that's calling the play calls for the offense. You know, that's been the murmurs. You know, of course, they have lost their defensive coordinator down now in Atlanta, doing some great things. And, you know, nobody can figure it out. They're trying to blame – fans are trying to figure out, is it Sierra, you know, getting to Russell Wilson? All kinds of crazy stuff going on. It's not characteristic for Pacific Northwest fans over the past couple of years.
And the big question was why Jimmy Graham wasn't more involved in Seattle's offense. Well, that wasn't the problem this past Sunday, yesterday at CenturyLink against the Panthers. Jimmy Graham, all over the field, over 100 yards receiving, did not find the end zone, but he was making catches left and right. Russell was finding him. But the issue is third downs late in the game and the fourth quarter. You're doing things well the first three quarters on both sides of the ball. What is the problem in the fourth quarter? Pete Carroll's always been about finishing. You win the game in the fourth quarter. Well, you know what? They're finding out now. You lose the game in the fourth quarter as well if you do not finish.
Well, you know, the ball, you know, the way the ball goes, it's tricky. And it's a game of inches. And it's also a game of luck. And over the past couple of years, Seattle has been on the positive side of that. This year, it hasn't been the case. And so for the first time, what we've seen is, as well as we, you know, as you're talking about how to close out games, the Seahawks are up. All they have to do is make a stop, you know, and then you have Cam Newton to Greg Olsen into the end zone for the touchdown. There was a blown coverage in the call. So what we're talking about is we're talking about Richard Sherman. What he explained after the game to me, Sean, was he got a call. And he made a certain call to his DBs. Earl Thomas didn't get the call, and neither did Cam Chancellor. They held themselves in what was called a cover three when he, meaning Richard Sherman, was in a cover two. So the message wasn't relayed properly, which is why Greg Olsen was wide open in the end zone. That is huge. That didn't happen with Seattle over the past few years as far as Legion of Boom is concerned. Could we credit that to the defensive coordinator being gone and now having a new defensive coordinator in Seattle?
Well, if you believe Pete Carroll, what he said today is the call, as most people know, the initial call is made through the wireless headset to the middle linebacker. It was not Bobby Wagner yesterday. He was out hurt, but K.J. Wright was filling in for him. So K.J. Wright is one guy to tell everybody what the play is, and also the coaches on the sideline are also signaling what the call is. So how both safeties missed it, I have no idea. And when you look at the three original members of the Legion of Boom, all pros at every position, and those three guys are the reason that Greg Olsen, the only weapon Carolina has, they just let him run free? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was amazing to see. And what was even more amazing with this Legion of Boom, who has been on the same page since they've been in existence, was pointing the finger at each other. And that was something that was pretty odd. You saw Earl Thomas pointing the finger at Richard Sherman and vice versa. You saw Cam Chancellor barking with Richard Sherman as well. It was one play. It was a blown coverage. But this play seemed even bigger than the blown play on offense in the Super Bowl last year, the way these guys were at each other's throats. Is this something to be concerned about for Seattle going forward, you know, especially with a short week on Thursday Night Football?
Well, the short week is a blessing in disguise because you have no choice but to forget yesterday's game, because the game plan for San Francisco starts today in Seattle. There is no time to reflect and have a day off and mull it over, because you have to get prepared for a game on Thursday night for the nation to see. Jim Nantz, Phil Simms, the CBS/NFL Network Thursday Night Football crew, they're going to be there in Santa Clara. The 49ers will be ready, coming off a victory, and Seattle needs to figure out how to get right and close out a game. Yes, there's finger pointing, and as you know, Sean, things are magnified when you lose and covered up when you win. Just because a team wins doesn't mean things went perfectly. But hey, you got the W, so we'll figure it out. Now, everything's magnified because they're losing. They're 2-4. Seattle hasn't been 2-4 in quite a while. And now they're looking at an uphill battle to get this right.
Well, you know, you have to tip your hats to the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton doing a decent job. He didn't have a great day, but he stayed with him. Of course, we talked about the connection in the end zone to Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen having a Pro Bowl year, no doubt about it. 7 receptions, 131 yards, But let's talk about on the other side of the football with the Seattle Seahawks. Jimmy Graham had a game coming out, 8 receptions for 140 yards. But here is the caveat to this whole thing. This was one of his breakout game, no doubt about it, for, you know, especially at home. But after the game, Carolina Panthers, Tommy Davis comes out and says this as far as how Jimmy Graham is. He says, "I'm sure that the loss was no big deal to Jimmy Graham. He's happy with his stats, and it's probably no sweat off of his back to the for the loss." Is that a concern in the Seahawks locker room when you're talking about a team that has strong cohesiveness as far as winning is concerned, and now you have this back and forth, even though, you know, it's the Carolina Panthers. They're excited about being 6-0. But is there any truth to this, that Jimmy Graham is an I guy?
Well, when he hasn't received the ball, he has shunned the media post-game, and he has reportedly been frustrated by not getting the ball enough. So one would lead you to think that he does want the ball. He does want to pad his stats. But he is also one of the best weapons in the entire NFL at his position. So any player of his caliber, any top receiver, whether it's tight end or wide receiver, is going to want the ball. They're going to think that if they get the ball, good things can happen. And he's proven that in New Orleans and yesterday in Seattle, as well as when he scored a touchdown week one, that he can be a difference maker. Is he a little too me-me? Aye, we'll see. You know, before he came to Seattle, Seattle's defenders thought he was soft. And we have learned, and we already knew, but we're seeing firsthand in Seattle, that he is not a great blocker. So maybe there is something to that. And at the same time, here he gets 8 receptions, well over 100 yards, and the team still loses.
You know, and that is that's sad. That's sad that, you know, Seattle got the loss. But it is good that Russell Wilson finds, you know, another weapon, the weapon that, you know, we knew that he was. Let's face it, you don't give up Max Unger, your starting center, Pro Bowl center, and you give up a first-round pick for, you know, Jimmy Graham for nothing. So we knew that this guy was the real deal. Here's one of the things that shocks me, though, is that maybe Jimmy Graham was just great in the system. And if it's all about the system, then he'll do fine in Seattle. But when you talk about the New Orleans Saints, who actually put a whooping on the Atlanta Falcons, and that was on this past Thursday night, and you had Ben Watson, who replaces Jimmy Graham, 10 receptions for 127 yards and a touchdown. You know, it seems like it's all about the system. So if Jimmy Graham can get things right with Russell Wilson, they should be okay. Now, I have to say, Sean, that, you know, being at the game yesterday in Santa Clara, it was somewhat exciting to see the San Francisco 49ers actually show a pulse. And you had Colin Kaepernick with 16 of 27 for 340 yards and 2 touchdowns. It is good. It's good for the NFC West to actually have this type of excitement coming in this week. But is it fool's gold? No pun intended, with the gold rush in San Francisco. Is it fool's gold that the San Francisco 49ers get this win just before playing Seattle?
Well, I think the Baltimore Ravens had something to do with that, because they have been a major disappointment this season as well. A lot of people pick them to challenge New England in the AFC, and they've won one game this year? So who knows what's going wrong in Baltimore with the Ravens, and the 49ers did what they're supposed to do. Held surf at home, and now the NFC West rivalry commences. The first time the Seahawks will play a Jim Tomsula-led team, so that'll be interesting as well.
Well, you know, it was a coming out party all together. Colin Kaepernick finally connecting with his receivers. Aquan Boldin, 5 receptions for 102 yards. Torrey Smith had a good game as well. 3 receptions for 96 yards and a touchdown, and they just torched the DBs all day long with Baltimore. And it was, you know, I have to give it to the 49er faithful that, you know, they actually came out. The fans were excited. And, you know, this is the place of Super Bowl 50. You know, we counted the San Francisco 49ers out. I don't see them actually turning things around. But at the same time, this is great for football to have featured games on Thursday night. And this one with Seattle and San Francisco, being that it is, they are 2-4 teams, this is going to be a fun one.
And both teams are going to be, should be, very, very hungry. You know, Seattle hasn't played well this year, definitely late. We've talked about that. It's been well documented. The 49ers got the win yesterday, but they're not where they want to be or expected to be. So Thursday Night Football, the NFL Network, CBS, they've done a great job at making that schedule. Look at last week. You mentioned it. Atlanta, New Orleans, great rivalry, great game. Who would have picked New Orleans over Atlanta right now? Not many people. And so now Seattle and San Francisco get their rivalry going here in 2015. And it'll probably be like most games are for these two teams in San Francisco / Santa Clara, a tight defensive contest. And again, it's going to come down to finishing in that fourth quarter. Who's going to do it? Kaepernick, Wilson, either defense. We'll see.
And yeah, you're mentioning the defense, which of course, you know, it is anchored by, you know, Seattle's is anchored by the Legion of Boom. Their secondary is second to none. They still have a lot of their pieces in place. Of course, with the San Francisco 49ers, with a lot of their linebacker crew leaving, being injured, it is anchored by Navarro Bowman. And he is doing a great job in, you know, teaching and showing these young guys. And of course, local favorite here in Northern California, and that is Eric Armstead of the University of Oregon, Pleasant Grove High School in Elk Grove, California. It should be exciting to see these two defenses going at it, and it should be fun for us. You know, we're going to be on the field, of course. You know, yourself, you're going to be floating around there, and you know, I've still yet to find out what my duties are, but you know, it could be in the booth, could be on the field, but I'm glad that the Double S Express is together. And we're working for CBS on this one because this is definitely going to be an exciting football contest.
Well, not only that, but one Devon Boyd getting his first taste of NFL football action on the production side. And Devon and I will be working all 3 days for the pre and post game, which means the on-field set for Thursday Night Football with the likes of Kurt Warner, Deion Sanders, Rich Eisen, and the crew.
You know, I must be doing something right. You know, I love the fact that my son's going to be able to work this game here and, you know, getting him involved in this. And, of course, you know, he's still doing his thing as far as going to school and playing basketball. But, you know, in his downtime, it's great to have him doing this. And so it's fun. It's fun to have everybody. It's a family affair, no doubt. And, you know, Santa Clara is going to be rocking come Thursday, Seattle Seahawks. San Francisco 49ers, last year, if we talked about this game, we were talking about these two teams vying for the top spot in the NFC West. Unfortunately, it's not that case, but it is a chance for one of these teams to actually get themselves off the schneid and get things going, so it should be a lot of fun. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more sports, and then we'll have our first guest on, Terry Holloman on from the Barbershop 206. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400,
the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in our big time guest tonight, Terry Holloman, otherwise known as T Holla from the Barbershop, barbershop206.com, as well as former University of Washington Husky. Terry, what's going on tonight?
Not much, man, but I think you must have got the wrong Terry Holloman on because you said something about big time, bro. That's a different
Come on, man. You know you're big time. You guys got some awesome stuff going on up there in the Pacific Northwest. You know, especially you and Marcus. You know, you have your internet show at www.barbershop206.com. Hey, there's some great things happening for you, man.
Yeah, we really do got some good stuff happening right now. It's been a fun little journey. We started off, you know, doing the radio show on ESPN Seattle up here on five nights a week last year. And then this thing happened in the spring called baseball. And I'm going to blame it on Marcus Trufant. He doesn't know anything about baseball. So we decided to, you know, change gears a little bit and come the independent route and take it to the internet. That's where everybody's at, right?
Yeah, you're right. That's where everything is at. And trust me, man, I understand what you're talking about. Of course, Sean Wally, being up in the 253 and over in the 509 as well, he acts like he doesn't know what NBA basketball is, so we have to veer away from that from time to time. So I definitely know what you're talking about.
Come on, Sean. No basketball? You don't know anything about hoops?
Hey, since the NBA left in 08, come on, Terry. You know we can't give them any love.
You're right. I don't give them too much love. I try to at least know what's going on. I know LeBron James, Stephen Curry. I didn't keep it that much, and we're good, you know?
Well, you know,
that's all you need to know. Just say LeBron's the greatest, and then you have a good conversation going.
That, you know, that's it, man. But, hey, I've got some good news for you guys. I believe that NBA basketball will be back in the Pacific Northwest in the next 3 to 5 years. There are some steps that you guys are making in the right direction, and I would love more than anything to have the Seattle Supersonics back in Seattle doing what they did back in the day, man.
Oh, man, the Seattle area is in dire need of a basketball team, man. When the Sonics left, it took a little piece of the soul of the city, man. But like you said, there's a good group of guys that have come together. Chris Hansen, and he's put together with the guy from Nordstrom, John Nordstrom. They got a good group of guys with deep pockets. And they're trying to bring the Sonics back, man. And they're actually trying to bring a hockey team back. And I think they've actually started building a hockey arena. So I think the two are going to go hand in hand, and hopefully sooner than later we'll get that back. Hopefully we don't have to take a team from another city, man, because I know how damaging that is to a city when someone comes and steals your team, Oklahoma.
Man, amen to that. You know, a voice of reason, because for a while I was wondering what was going on up there in the PNW. It was like, hey, when Sacramento seemed like it was available, it's like take them and take them fast. But, you know, it's good to hear you say that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I really think what happened is the commissioner and all the powers that be in the NBA, they know that it was a big stink when they came and stole Seattle's team, man. So I don't think they wanted to start that again with another city. They already got one city that hates them. So why would you want to add another to that list? You see what I'm saying?
Well, now that David Stern is out of the picture, hopefully we can mend fences with the NBA and have them back at some point in the near future in Seattle. Now, Terry, there were a few football games, a couple football games over the weekend in Seattle that are near and dear to your heart, one being the Oregon Ducks visiting your Washington Huskies, your alma mater, a team you played for. And here everybody in Seattle thought it was the year to get off the schneid, over the hump, and finally defeat the Oregon Ducks. Hasn't been done in 11 seasons. Unfortunately, Terry, as you know, it is now 12.
Man, you're really touching a sore spot right now, my man. I thought I was over it. I spent all day yesterday, you know, trying to get over it. I went to bed early. I went to bed at like 6 o'clock last night because I couldn't stand it anymore. And then I woke up today. I was refreshed, and then you had to really just peel the scab off just like that, right? But nah, I really thought this year was the year that they were going to pull it together. They had a chance to beat the Ducks. The Ducks are really wounded. They don't seem like the team that they've been for the last decade or so. They are having struggles at quarterback, obviously. The offense isn't clicking on all cylinders. The defense is not able to really stop anybody this year, except for the University of Washington. And, you know, everybody wants to point their finger and say, these Washington Huskies are young. They have so many freshmen and sophomores out there playing, but I'm tired of that excuse, man. There comes a point where, you know, other teams around the country are playing with freshmen too, and you don't get excuses. You know, there's no such thing as more victories anymore, and 12 years in a row is 12 years too many, guys. I'm sorry, and I'm hurt. Can you hear the hurt in my voice, fellas?
Man, I do. I do, and I'm feeling you, man. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. But at least, you know, the Cougars got them, and now we got to hear it from both the Cougars and the Ducks.
Yeah, Terry, the Huskies, you know, they've shown glimpses. You know, they beat USC Thursday night, national TV on ESPN the week prior. And do you think they had a bit of an emotional hangover because it took them three full quarters until they, you know, they made a game of it in that fourth quarter Saturday night?
Yeah, they did. I think that there might be something to that. You know, a lot of the guys that were playing on that team for the Washington Huskies last week against USC were guys that were coached by Steve Sarkisian, and a lot of them feel like he left them, kind of like, you know, like an orphan kid. You know, he brought them in, recruited them, made them a lot of promises, and kind of left under cover of darkness in the middle of the night, really. And so they had a chip on their shoulder, and they, you know, they wanted to make sure that they beat Steve Sarkisian before they graduated, and they probably put a lot of their heart and soul into that game. And, you know, maybe there was something about a hangover, a USC hangover that, and I know it's a bad term to use, considering what just happened to Steve Sarkisian and whatnot, but maybe it's legit. Maybe they had a hangover.
Terry Holloman joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, Terry, you had mentioned the youth of the Washington Huskies. You know, I, of course, you have a true freshman in Miles Gaskin at the running back position. Had a phenomenal game, 18 carries, 157 yards. You know, Jake Browning, the quarterback for UW, but who's also a freshman out of here in Northern California at Folsom High School, you know, he's still a work in progress. And, you know, do you see him actually making the strong progressions here as the season goes on? And will he be that quarterback that the University of Washington is looking for?
You know, here's the thing. When you look at a position like quarterback, coming straight out of high school right into Division I college football, to me, you know, just trying to put myself in his shoes, I would be so overwhelmed. Because just coming as a running back, as I was, stepping into University of Washington day one, looking at the playbook, looking at, you know, the schemes and the type of defenses I was going to be facing, I was looking at it as a running back thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? Now, you take into consideration a quarterback who not only has to know all the plays that are in the playbook, you know, the specific reads on every play, what everybody else is having to do on the field, as at the same time you're having to adjust to being in college and living a college life, that's a lot to throw at a young kid. That being said, I think that as he progresses over this offseason, he's going to get a chance to get in the weight room and do some grown man working out, get a chance to work in that playbook and get in that office with the coaches to learn the nuances of the offense and learn how to read some of these defenses a little bit better and strengthen that arm up, I think he's going to come along just fine. You talk about a guy like Myles Gaskin, though, that kid is legit. He's going to be, you know, you get a guy that's he's kind of slightly built, but he gets the ball and he gets head north and south in a hurry. And that's what you look for in a good running back. He has that natural ability to find the creases, find the seams. He's a very patient runner, and I think I'm expecting big things out of that kid.
And, you know, of course, you mentioning the running back position, you did some awesome things at the running back position. Of course, 148 yards rushing against San Jose State. Man, I am pulling it out of the archives. I got something for you. That was November the 16th, 1996. So, yeah, you definitely know what's going on at that position.
Man, you brought a tear to my eye, man. You brought up my one shining moment at No, I didn't. The reason why I know so much about the position of running back is because I played behind all the best of them. I came into UW as a freshman. There was a guy by the name of Napoleon Kaufman. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him before.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was there for my first 2 years. First-round draft pick by the Los Angeles Raiders at the time. And he had a stellar career. I think he still has the yards per carry record for the Raiders.
Yes.
And that's including Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen. Okay, so he was pretty good. And then I had another guy that's the same class as me by the name of Corey Dillon. So I've seen some of the best up close. I've got to compete with some of the best. And, yeah, so I feel like I got a little bit of knowledge when it comes to the position.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned the running back position, it seems like, you know, all the talk, you know, as far as quarterback you at the University of Miami in years past, when you think about running backs, you have to put the University of Washington up there. You had mentioned Napoleon Kaufman. I just talked with him last week at the last home game against Denver when the Raiders played Denver at home here. And, of course, Napoleon had an excellent career. You're talking about Rashad Sheehy, Corey Dillon, Greg Lewis, just to name a few. These are awesome running backs. It's a running back factory at the University of Washington. It's good that you were part of that.
My gosh, let me tell you. And this is something that, again, a lot of people don't remember, or some of the younger guys, some of the younger fans have no clue about. Every year that I was at the University of Washington, we had an all Pac-10 running back. Every single year. If he wasn't all Pac-10, he was all American. So, and then every single person that played with me, that was either at my level on the depth chart or ahead of me, went to the National Football League in a draft. So it was an unbelievable time to play the position at the school. I call it the gift and the curse. I got to play with the best and see the best, but at the same time, that means you get to sit down for a long time. You know what I'm saying? At any particular moment, the coach could have rolled the dice and put anybody in the game. In our top four depth chart, he could have rolled the dice to put anybody in. So it was, a blessing and a curse, and I'm really glad I had the opportunity to be there.
Terry Hellman joining us here on the double. Now, Terry, the University of Washington, the stadium's been revamped. Great facilities right in the heart of Seattle on Lake Washington. Why should a top-tier high school recruit come to UW?
Well, first of all, you're going to get a top-tier education. It's one of the top universities, not just on the West Coast and not just in America. It's one of the top-rated colleges in America, first of all, first and foremost. And we know that most of the kids that come to college on a football scholarship are not going to play football on the next level. It's just a fact. And if you want to come and get a great education, this is the place to be. If you want to come and have an experience as far as college-wise, where you have access to a beautiful city like Seattle, we have the most incredible waterfront. We have access to mountains. You have the most incredible, you know, the climate here, other than the little time we get a little bit of rain, is just incredible. Unbeatable. If you get Seattle in the summertime, there's not a place in the world I'd rather. As far as the ability to move on to the next level, all you got to do is look at the track record and look at the guys that have gone on to play in the National Football League from the University of Washington. It's a very storied program. When you leave this school, you're going to have connections to alumni that have reached all aspects of life, all aspects of the business world, all aspects of the sporting world. So I think that any kid that wants to, you know, take their life seriously and take it to the next level, you got to come be a dog.
Now, Terry, It's about a month and a week away, roughly 5-6 weeks away. The Apple Cup being hosted by University of Washington this season, the Cougars and the Dogs. What are your favorite Apple Cup memories from your playing days?
Man, I had a bunch of them. My number one memory was when I was in high school, I had just verbally committed to University of Washington, was watching the Snow Bowl. And it was watching Drew Bledsoe and a guy named there were so many guys on that field, you know, versus Napoleon Kaufman, Bean O'Brien, Billy Joe Horbert, and Mark Brunell, watching them roll around in the snow. That was good to watch. I wasn't there. One of my favorite memories of playing in the game was a couple years I got to play against my younger brother. My younger brother went to Washington State on a football scholarship as well, and he played safety. So I got a chance to line up against him and run into him on a couple of kickoffs, a couple of punt returns. We got to butt heads a few times. Those are always fun. And then, of course, beating them. That's always my favorite memory, beating the Cougars.
Yeah, that's definitely great to beat the Cougars. Of course, for myself, growing up in Western Washington, in Tacoma to be exact, it was always good to see the Huskies beating up on the Cougs. And, it was tough. I bleed purple and golden. So, just in case you didn't know, Terry, I went to Auburn University and, wound up at Eastern Washington University. And no matter where I went, my son played for the Ducks. And with all that being said, no matter what goes on as far as college sports is concerned, I bleed purple and gold. And it's just, when the Huskies don't do well, it hurts, man. I remember being at a summer. It was over the summer. We had a camp going into the beginning of the season down in Auburn, Alabama. And, we were ranked, I believe number 3 in the country. The Huskies were ranked like number 20, 22. And all I did that whole week, as far as that camp was concerned, was talk about how great the Huskies were. That year, the Huskies wound up finishing number 1 in the country. That was 1990. And,
oh, yeah.
That was a great team. You're talking about the Steve Edmonds on the team and, awesome players, Mark Brunell, Billy Joe Hobert, to name a few. And so, I love it, man. I love when the Huskies do a good job.
You know what's funny about that is I can completely relate to that. I did not grow up in Washington. I moved here when I was a senior in high school. I moved here from Texas. So I was actually born in Arkansas, lived in Texas. I actually spent some time in Canada as well. But I know growing up in Texas that they don't even have any clue that people play football outside of the state of Texas.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, really, literally. I remember moving when I was moving here and I was telling all my friends I'm moving to Washington. They were like, oh, you're going to be up there by the president. I was like, no, not that Washington, dumb. But I ended up coming to the UW, and then I know that, again, once you get outside of these state lines, a lot of people don't understand how serious and how, heated this football battle is that we call the Apple Cup, and how heated and how big of a tradition that is up here, and how serious we take our football. Again, when you think about football most of the time, when you get outside the state line, you think about Texas, Florida, and California. But now we play some real football up here in the state of Washington. And all you got to do is tune into the Apple Cup, and you're going to see it.
Yeah, well, hey, that's some good stuff, man. And I know we can talk football all the time. I want to switch gears a little bit, and I mentioned earlier about your show that you have, and that's the Barbershop206.com. You guys have some awesome guests. This past week, I believe you had Steve Hauschka on the show.
We did.
Who's one of the up-and-coming guests that you have coming up this week?
We were actually going to interview. We try to get outside the box. Here's the thing about the Barbershop. And when we came up with the concept, we wanted to talk sports, but we wanted to keep it really, low-key, kind of like you would have a conversation in a barbershop. And we wanted to make sure that those conversations that we had on the show were just authentic barbershop conversations. We didn't want to pigeonhole ourselves into sports or football or basketball, for that matter. When we talked baseball, when we decided to talk baseball, we wanted to let everybody know, hey, listen, we don't know a thing about baseball. So when we have you on our show or when we have guests call in, We want you guys to educate us about football. We don't want to have any false pretense. That being said, we actually reached out to the new Mariners GM. And we were going to have him on our show this week. Our schedule didn't click, but he's going to be coming on in the next couple of weeks. We've talked to Edgar Martinez about coming on the show. Like you said, we just had Stephen Hauschka. Anybody wants to check our archives, we've had Casey Keller, the most recently inducted into the United States Soccer Hall of Fame. So, again, we reach to everyone. And actually, we're going to tomorrow, Marcus and I, there's a new thing out. It's called sensory deprivation tanks. You guys heard about these?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fill us in. So, fill our listeners in, Terry. Go for it.
Basically what it is, it's really cool. All the Hollywood people, all the people in the know are doing it now. It's basically a giant egg shaped like tank filled with salt water, like the Mediterranean or the Dead Sea kind of. It's filled with Epsom salt, so basically you float on top of the water, and you're in the nude, and it's completely enclosed, and it's dark. And
wait a minute. So you're in the nude. You're in the nude.
In the nude, bucket naked.
Man.
Yeah, well, you're in the nude. It's you. It's just you, though. It's just you inside of a tank full of water, completely nude, and it's supposed to be just completely this invigorating, rejuvenating experience where you're just in tune with yourself. It's kind of rejuvenates your body and your joints because you're weightless. You float on the water and you're weightless, and it gives you, because it removes all sound, all sight, basically a reboot of your nervous system is what it says. So we're going to go interview the guy that's the proprietor of a new floating company that's here in Seattle. Interview him, get some insight on the business, and we're actually going to float about the tube.
Now, Terry, Sean Boyd isn't the best at getting in the water. I love to whitewater raft and do some great sports like that. So how can I get my co-host to try this sensory deprivation tank when it involves water?
Does he take a bath?
Man, listen. I don't even have to tell you, when you're talking about water, I don't even have to tell you the demographic that I am as far as when it comes to water, man. We just don't do that. We don't do that.
You're in the Dark Knight delegation? Listen, I don't do that kind of water either. It's not deep water. It's not like you go float off and drown in it. It's maybe shin bone high water. You're not gonna touch the bottom of it when you float on it, but you're not gonna drown in it unless you just pass out.
Deep deprivation, man. I mean, that sounds relaxing and soothing. So that's something that I'll try it out. I mean, as long as it's shallow, we're good.
Hey, I'm telling you what. If you're scared of it, tune in to Barbershop 206 next week, and you'll be able to see me and True do it. And you can judge for yourself, man. I promise you. If it was spooky or it was some deep water, I'm not getting in deep water, bro.
I hear you, man.
I don't do that.
Man, I got to get both of you in a life vest and a helmet, and we're going whitewater rafting.
See, there you
Let's
go.
Let's do it.
There you go. When you say a helmet and no, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, you already ruled me out. Said I need a helmet to get in some water.
You see what I'm saying, man? This is what I deal with.
Terry. You wore a helmet to play football, so come on, that's second
but
nature.
That's not water. I can understand why I need a helmet to run into people. Why do I need a helmet in water?
Man, yeah, exactly.
Safety first.
Have you seen the Titanic? That's all you need to know.
That was also 1926.
That's all you need to know.
Terry, getting back to the barbershop206.com, what was it like? You guys were on Cairo Radio, ESPN, Seattle. What was it like making that transition from the radio show to your current online video show?
You know what? It was, I don't want to say it was difficult. because, you know, Marcus, you know, playing in the National Football League for 10 years, he was used to being in the spotlight. So, you know, being in front of the camera wasn't that nerve-wracking, but it was just taking on, you had to change roles. And that was been the biggest thing, you know, learning to change from being the person interviewed to being the interviewer and learning how to deal with it. Because we do it in front of a live audience most of the time, like 95% of the time we have a live audience. And learning how to you know, integrate an audience and utilize the camera, the different cameras that we may have on any shoot. It's just a learning process, as with anything. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know how to do radio at first. And then, you know, we took baby steps, and then we figured it out. And we just moved on to the next thing. And hopefully, you know, if we keep moving along, we're going to be having a Barbershop 206 Films here shortly, coming to a movie theater near you.
Wow. Man, that sounds excellent, man. So you guys have a strong vision. What you want to do. It sounds like that blueprint is well into place.
Yeah, man. We, like I said, we want to just keep putting one foot in front of the other one and keep moving forward, man. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. And the thing about it is, I don't know, you know, if you know much about Marcus Trufant, but like I said, he played 10 years in the National Football League at the highest level, first-round draft pick. He's not doing this for the paycheck. So, if it's not fun, it's not. We're not providing something that's entertaining to people, that people are enjoying, he wouldn't be doing it. So, like I said, we're having a good time doing it, and people seem to enjoy it. So we're going to keep pushing ahead.
Now, Terry, you mentioned Marcus Trufant, of course, your co-host at Barbershop206.com, the great Seahawk, former Wazoo Cougar. I won't remind you of that too much. But you, Marcus, and of course the former triple-headed co-host of the original Barbershop, G. Scott, we all met last, I believe, November when you guys came to the 509
right.
in my territory in Pasco for Dinner with Friends, the Boys and Girls Club event that you guys were hosting, and Marcus was the keynote speaker. What did you take away from that event, and what do you like to tell the youth of today?
Man, first of all, I'd just like to say, man, it was a great, great experience. You know, it's not often that I get to get over there to the east side of the mountains, and especially not to the Tri-Cities. The people over there were so welcoming, man, so friendly, and so inviting that, you know, it was just, it felt really, really like home. You know what I mean? Like, everybody treated you like, you know, very special. We got a chance to visit the kids at the Boys and Girls Club. And just to see their faces light up when they got to see Marcus in person and get an autograph and get a picture and then run through some football drills and play catch with him. It was just so amazing, man, and really touching to see that, you know, the impact that someone like Marcus can have on these young kids. And I guess that's the biggest thing I was able to take away, man, is that, you know, I see the importance of something like a Boys and Girls Club, and I see how that community came together to raise funds and actually support that cause, and support those kids, man. And you, whenever you can get a bunch of people like that together to support our youth, which is really, you know, I hate to sound cliche and sound Whitney Houston, but the kids are the future, man. And you know, they didn't have to be here. And for us to, you know, be able to do something to provide a way for them to you know, get out there and have fun, or a place to go, a safe place to go and exercise and do these activities, man. It was just really, really heartwarming.
You know, of course, Terry, you and True do some awesome things, as you're mentioning, with the kids in the community. Of course, there are some other, there's the other side that's coming up at the end of the month, and that's the Marcus Trufant and the Barbershop Halloween party. Man, what's going down there?
I mean, like and you said, we're trying to keep the young spirit alive, man. You know, we're a baby boomer generation, man. We like and so since there's not really, you know, people, it's kind of frowned upon, you know, for people my age to go door to door and trick or treat. So we just found a way for us to get dressed up in costumes and hang out for one night and kind of just have some fun. So yeah, we're gonna do that again. It's gonna be at Stone Lounge in Bellevue And people come and get dressed up, you know, with the most elaborate costumes, and it's really fun. And we have prizes for the best costumes. I think we're going to have a raffle for some Seahawks tickets this year. And last year, you know, we did it on a Friday night, just like we're doing this year, on October 30th. And so some of the players from the Seahawks were able to come out. We got some good pictures, like Bobby Wagner came out dressed as a doctor. And we had old schoolers like Nate Burleson came out. And it was just a good vibe.
Man, that sounds like, you know, a fun time, definitely. And, of course, you'd mentioned it's at the Stone Lounge in Bellevue. Former players, current players. Hey, who did you dress up as last year?
Man, I'm Mr. T. T. Hall of Fame is Mr. T. I had the mohawk, cut-off sleeves, and everything. Man, I was ready.
I pity the fool. Man.
I pity the fool that doesn't come to Stone Lounge this October 30th.
It's going down.
That's right, it is. We're going to have so much fun, man. So if any of you listeners want to find out where to get a ticket, you have to hit barbershop206.com, and you can get your tickets there. VIP is still available if you want to get that as well.
So, T. Holla, what you're telling us is, dressing up as Mr. T, you're adding hair to your current look.
Oh, you trying to tell everybody I'm bald-headed, huh? They don't have to know that, man. They should
man.
Be on the radio. You're supposed to think you have your... Create your own image of what Tiala looks like. I have a long, flowing gold mane of hair that flows down into a long mullet down the back of my shoulders.
Well, I would expect it to be nothing less than purple and gold.
Only on special, on game days, I put a couple streaks in.
Man, you just explained Fabio, man.
I'm the black Fabio. They didn't tell you that?
Wow.
Call your producer and let him know. They need to check my Wikipedia, and it says the Terry Holloman, T. Holla, a.k.a. Black Foster.
T. Holla, Terry Holloman, thank you so much for your time. We kept you longer than we normally keep our guests. We appreciate all your insight. We could talk to you for hours, man. Barbershop206.com, the place for everything, including Halloween parties on October 30th in Bellevue. Terry, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Thank you guys, man.
There goes Terry Holloman. Hey, he is now the final member of Barbershop 206. We've had Marcus Drufant last year, G. Scott in July, and now Terry Holloman rounding out the Barbershop here on the Double.
Well, man, you have two parallel shows going, you know, doing what we love to do. Of course, the Barbershop is doing their thing, starting out in radio and now moving to television. We didn't even get a chance to touch on how they're on Q13 from time to time. And so they're doing some awesome things with what they're doing, of course, on the Double with the Double S Express, moving in that same direction. So, man, it was good having Terry. And Sean, it almost, you know, felt like because he's on radio, it didn't even seem like we had a guest on. We're just sitting here talking great sports.
Which is almost like a barbershop.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, getting a chance to see their show and listen to their show when they're on 710, you know, with he and Marcus and, of course, G. Scott doing their thing. I mean, it was awesome. You know, those guys were just sitting around. And for those of us who go to the barbershop and we know what that atmosphere is like, it's exactly that, man. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, it's great to have guys like Terry Holloman, G. Scott, Marcus Drufant on our show that not only validate what we're trying to do, bring great sports talk and great guests to the listeners, but it also allows us to resonate with what we're trying to do and share great messages. You know, Terry talked about the great things the Boys and Girls Club are doing and their Dinner with Friends experience. Last year, we had Marcus on. I got to meet Marcus, G. Scott, Terry Holloman at the Dinner with Friends in Pasco at the track last year. Now, this year, Gary Payton is coming to the Tri-Cities in a couple weeks, and we are scheduled to have him on the show next week. So great thanks to the Boys and Girls Club for making that happen. And, you know, we're all about sharing the love and the great message, the good things that people are doing in this world.
Yeah, you know, when you do those things, you have to have vision. And I've mentioned this all the time. You know, what we try to do here on the Double is try to get away from that shock jock type of talk. And, you know, what I mean by that is it's what's the hottest, what's the latest and greatest, and whether it's positive or negative. you know, bringing all that trash out on, you know, into the forefront. And unfortunately, that's, you know, where our society is as far as media is concerned. They like the hottest and latest topic. What we do here on The Double is, you're exactly right, Sean Wally, is we want to know what these athletes are doing, what these broadcasters are doing behind the scenes when the red light isn't on. And, you know, if they're doing good things in the community needs to know. And, of course, as we had mentioned with the barbershop, they're doing awesome things. And as Terry had talked about, and you had mentioned the dinner with friends and, of course, the barbershop Halloween party. These things need to get out there, and that's what we do. We just talk about those things in the community and how, you know, we can bridge the gap between the athletes and the community and, you know, make things better.
And the bottom line, Sean, what I think I'm learning from our show and all the great guests we've had, whether they're extreme high profile like Gary Payton next week to, you know, T. Holla tonight, everyone is a person. Everyone is a human being. Everyone has had a struggle. Everyone has had a strife, and they've overcome it, and they've persevered, and they've done great things, and that's what we're trying to share. And we're learning from these guys that regardless of what you've gone through in life, you can achieve great things if you don't give up.
Yeah, it's all about adversity. And if you've ever played sports, you know, and you had that David versus Goliath, and you were the David, you know, your coach always explained to you, hey, don't be afraid of your opponent because that person puts his pant leg on one leg at a time just like you. And so it's kind of like how our show is that even though we have, you know, big-time guests, big-time sports athletes and broadcasters alike, you know, they're people too. There's a human element to what everybody does. And so if you've ever had a vision, if you've ever had a goal, if you've ever had a dream to do something, you can do it. If you just lock in, have that vision, have a plan, and move things forward in the right direction.
That's a great vision and concept for anybody, whether it's the youth of America today or somebody that, you know, they don't like their job, they're not happy with their life at this moment. Well, okay, let's start writing it down. Let's set some goals and work towards making that happen every day. The sun, thankfully, comes up, and it's another chance for you to make that step forward to becoming who you want to be.
Yeah, you know, and it does. It doesn't just happen in athletics. It happens in your everyday life, as you're explaining. And, you know, it's all about making things better. It's all about, you know, not having that pity party. It's okay to actually, you know, lament a little bit on some of the unsuccessful things that go on in your life. But, man, everybody has some type of adversity. Everybody has a huddle. A hurdle. Everybody has that, you know, that speed bump in the road. And so with that being said, the reason why the people we have on our show are successful is they've overcome that. They said that I will not have that be the staple in my life. I will not have that be something that defines me. And so, you know, the reason why they become professional athletes or broadcasters or journalists or you know, all those things alike is they just said, man, doggone it, I'm going to do this regardless, and I'm going to be the best at it. And I love it. I love having guests on like Terry Holloman.
We've got a few more minutes left here on The Double. Heck, give us a call. Don, in the studios at BBS Radio, is ready to bring you on the air. 888-429-5471. And yes, we've talked Sunday football. We've talked a little bit of Saturday football, but heck, it was a very busy week last week for the Double S Express. We'll get into that coming up as we close the show here on The Double with the Double S Express.
Everybody get up.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions,
The trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you're better with the brush fade.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. We had our special guest on just now, just a few minutes ago, Terry Holloman of The Barbershop. And you can go on to his website, actually their website, Marcus Trufant, Terry Holloman. That is barbershop206.com. Sean Wally, an awesome show so far, man. And so, it was great having Terry on.
Yeah, Terry's an awesome guy. I mean, he went to the University of Washington, and we learned that he didn't move to the state until he was a senior in high school. So he didn't grow up in the PNW. He didn't know what it was all about, but he did well enough in that senior year, plus his other 3 years elsewhere, to warrant going to UW and getting that, I'm guessing, scholarship. Maybe not. We didn't go there with him. But at the very least, he played major college football in Seattle for the University of Washington, and now he's doing good things in the broadcasting world. And he inflected his knowledge, his insight on our show, and now he's a good resource for us to reach out to in the future.
Well, you know, the big thing, Sean, is what he talked about is he talked about the journey on how they got there. You mentioned, you know, starting out, you know, in radio, excuse me, and how they parlayed that into what they have now with the Barbershop 206. And, you know, I mean, you know, we talk about those struggles. We talked about them before going to break. And so, you know, getting a chance to talk with Terry, it almost seemed like, you know, because I believe because he's a radio host and broadcaster alike, it was just, you know, we're just sitting around talking at the barbershop, you know, and that's good stuff.
That's right. And that's what we want our show to be. We don't want anybody feeling any pressure or anything extra special on their shoulders because they're on our show. It's just you and I talking, and they're added into the picture.
And, you know, and speaking of that, you know, there were some great things that, you know, that went on this past week. On Thursday, of course, you were with SWX, and instead of being in front of the camera, you were behind the camera, holding the camera. And so what was going on? What was going on in SWX this past week?
Hopefully I was doing more than holding the camera, but yes, SWX likes to use me as an on-field handheld camera operator, and I did that yet again Thursday night for Thursday Night Lights, and it was Hanford, the Falcons of Hanford at the Kamiokin Braves held at Kennewick High School, Lamson Stadium in Kennewick, and wow, it was Kamiokin flexing their muscle, showing that they are for real and they qualified for the state playoffs with that victory, and we're only in October.
you know, Kamaikin has always been a team that has been a juggernaut, and this goes back to, you know, some 20 years, man. And, it just seems like, you know, they're a brand new school, but they've been around for a while. And, you know, it's great to hear that Kamaikin is doing these awesome things. And, of course, you know, being a part of that production, a part of that crew, it's got to be exciting. I did give you some homework, though, last week as far as finding out if there was some type of reward, if there was a jug or some type of trophy, because these are two Tri-Cities teams that are battling. I mean, was there anything that came out?
Nothing at all. But really, I mean, you can't give anything to that because you've also got Kennewick, Pasco, Richland, Southridge, naming all the high schools in the Tri-Cities. Can't leave out Kai B and Benton City, although they're a division lower, of course. But, you know, it's all the schools. They have great rivalries, just like anywhere USA. You've got local schools that are close-knit and across town, and they don't like each other. You know, we can relate that to Jonathan Stewart returning with the Panthers to the Pacific Northwest. He played where? Timberline High School. My rival, the Blazers at Timberline in Lacey, rival the North Thurston Rams, which Casey Keller probably, and I forgot to mention this with T. Hala on the show, Casey Keller, who was on their show, who we have to get on our show eventually, the greatest goalkeeper ever in the history of soccer or football, if you're from Europe, the greatest graduate, most famous graduate from North Thurston High School, I would bet money, and then somewhere around the bottom of the list might be myself.
So you've spread from Eastern Washington to the Puget Sound as far as North Thurston and Timberline and Jonathan Stewart, a.k.a. Snoop, who back in the day, and actually he still goes by, that's his nickname, Snoop. And so doing some awesome things. Of course, Carolina Panthers winning this weekend. We didn't get a chance to talk about that with Terry. But, of course, you'd mentioned Hanford playing against Kamaikin. You know, I got to tell you, when I think about Hanford, for whatever reason, and call me silly on this one, but I keep seeing the preliminaries of The Simpsons, the beginning of the show, because Hanford and the nuclear. And, you know, that's what I think about because Hanford has the big nuclear plant. And, you know, Springfield, USA, in, you know, which is the home of The Simpsons. I mean, that's what I think about when I think of Hanford.
Well, let's just say that Hanford is most famous for the A-bomb, the atom bomb that ended World War II. And let's leave it at that. Let's not go into the 7+ years I spent working on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation for an unnamed company, trying to build a plant that may or may not eventually one day clean up that nuclear waste. But yes, the Hanford Falcons, ironically, were the first SWX television game that I covered at Hermiston in Oregon. And the Hanford Falcons showed out. They beat Hermiston, who were the 6A state champs last year. So it was a shock for Hanford, who was winless in 2014, to show out and beat Hermiston. So I expected a better, closer game than what we had on Thursday, and Kamaikin just rolled. And it's going to be interesting as we move forward in the SWX televised football season, because Friday night is going to be a game at Richland High School. So that is walking distance from my house if I wanted some exercise. But, yeah, it'll be the next broadcast is Friday night at Richland High School. And then the big second game of the year at Central Washington University Saturday on SWX will be in Washington, Idaho, Northern Idaho, and Western Montana, the Central Washington Wildcats. I'll be there in Ellensburg for that game.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, some of our guests, they email and they say, well, goodness, you know, we get all of this education as far as, you know, some of the games and everything that go on in the Pacific Northwest. So, yeah, you know, we do flex our muscle a little bit as far as that is concerned. You are getting an education in PNW history, but, you know, fret not actually because the NFHS will be coming at you to a high school near you, and that's going to be in the coming weeks. And yours truly will be covering a few of those games. But, you know, yeah, you're right. And, of course, you know, we've got the big game moving from high school to the NFL that we've talked about earlier as far as this Thursday, Thursday night football in America. That is the Seattle Seahawks coming in to invade Levi Stadium. And they'll be taking on the San Francisco 49ers, home of Super Bowl 50, Sean Wally.
I don't see any way the Seahawks leave that stadium without a victory. Not only with their backs against the wall, but they're just the superior team. Bottom line, top to bottom, on paper, they've probably been the superior team in all six games. But for whatever reason, this season, there have been more bumps in the road. And that builds character. And we'll see what happens Thursday night. And it's going to be great to have a chance, which this is my second time at the home of the 49ers, working with you on Thursday night. Of course, I worked the last Seattle Seahawks home game, or away game, last home game for the 49ers at Candlestick Park. What a dump that was. But to get to experience the new, the great Levi Stadium, one of the most technologically advanced stadiums in the country, and the entire nation is watching, and guys like Jim Nantz and Phil Simms will be on the call, and the A crew from CBS, and also the NFL Network guys, Deion Sanders, Marshall Faulk, Rich Eisen, Kurt Warner. The list goes on and on. As you said, the nation's watching. San Francisco, Seattle, let's get it on Thursday night.
And, you know, it will. It'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, I have to agree with you as far as on paper, Seattle is the better team. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and we've talked about before, as far as 20 players leaving from the team prior for the San Francisco 49ers, you know, Colin Kaepernick trying to find himself. And, of course, you know, he had a decent football game yesterday. You know, it should be exciting. You know, you're trying to figure out, you know, with Torrey Smith, the new receiver with the 49ers, along with Aquan Boldin, having a great day. And, of course, seeing if Carlos Hyde can actually come out and do something as well. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Sean, since you're not technically a Seattle Seahawks fan, you might not have the blue and green colored glasses that I do watching the team. What is the biggest problem with the defending NFC champions?
You know, it's what we've been talking about before. You know, we've had previous guests on. We've talked about the offensive line. We talked about defensive linemen actually moving over to the offensive line. And we thought that, hey, maybe, you know, because Seattle had enough talent that they could overcome it. You know, that's a problem. That's a problem when you get rid of your all-star players and you have to, you know, protect your quarterback in that sense. Now, we've made fun as far as Russell Wilson is concerned, as far as, you know, his courtship with Ciara. But, you know, when you're talking about the offensive line and not being strong enough, Russell Wilson has hit the deck. He's fallen on his back more than any quarterback in the NFL this year. When in years prior, he's been protected so much that he's been able to pick and choose if he's wanted to pass or if he can tuck it and run. Right now, he's just running for his life. And so that's something that, you know, they have to figure out. And, of course, you know, having new defensive coordinators and, you know, and holdouts and all of those things alike, you know, those are things that are actual true problems for the Seattle Seahawks. Those are the things that I think if they can figure it out, have a come to Jesus, if you will, in the locker room, then, you know, they should be able to, you know, make things better. Now, as far as riding the ship, it depends. This is a pivotal game, 2-2-4 teams. So, you know, whoever wins this game puts themselves in a position to actually stay in the fight against the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, St. Louis Rams being off this week, you know, they have a chance to do something positive this weekend as well. But this is probably the biggest game of the week for the Seattle Seahawks. And if they can fix those problems, they'll do just fine.
Sean, here's my question for you. Russell Wilson signed the huge mega contract right when training camp was about to start. And now because the Seahawks are 2-4, people are saying, you know, the bandwagon people, the guys that want to jump off the cliff, the people that are like, I'm done, I can't take this adversity. They're like, we shouldn't have signed Russell to this deal, blah, blah, blah. He's not an elite quarterback. He's not leading us to the victories. Wait a minute. If he was making the 1.5 he made last year, I don't think people would be quabbling as much as they are, or some of the Fairweather bandwagon fans may be right now. So it's just ridiculous to me that because he's been rewarded for taking Seattle to not one, but two Super Bowls in a row, because he's not willing and playing apparently all 12 positions, 11 positions on defense and offense, and doing ridiculously awesome things, then apparently they shouldn't have signed him to the deal. I'm completely flummoxed as to why people would think something like that.
Well, because they're the fan, and the fan has every right to, you know, believe what they want to believe. It doesn't mean that it's the right thing. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because this very same thing is going on with an undefeated team in the NFL, 6-0, and that is the Denver Broncos. I mean, is Peyton Manning really playing great football? He's not. But what you have is you have the fans talking about, man, what in the world is going on with Peyton Manning? Man, we should bench him. We should bring in, you know, our new young quarterback. I mean, really? Really? This is Peyton Manning that we're talking about. And even though he hasn't had the greatest numbers, as a matter of fact, I believe he had two or three picks yesterday, two picks the week before. So he hasn't been playing his best, but at the same time, they're winning. For Russell Wilson, though, it's a little bit different. And this is the thing that I've been talking about all along as far as Russell Wilson is concerned. Russell Wilson is a good quarterback, but what makes him a great quarterback is the fact that he understands who he is within the system. When the system is working properly, then nobody can beat Seattle. But when the system isn't working, like we've seen over the past few weeks, to where time of possession is a key, to where they need that type of a rhythm to get things going, and maybe, you know, there's a turnover here and there that is unexpected, and you're asking Russell Wilson to actually do something that, you know, probably isn't of his characteristic, then, you know, it becomes different. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the fact that Russell Wilson has done some great things. He can tuck the football, he can run, he can get you the first down, he can do all of those cool things. But the only reason why he can, and the reason why he was successful in years past, is because of the system. He's still able to tuck and run, he's still able to do those things, but the reason why he's not as successful is because of that offensive line, of course, for one. But if he was really Superman great, then he wouldn't need that offensive line, right? He'd be able to maneuver and jump around and do all these cool things. So the system has to be right. The offensive line has to have their you know, everything in place. And so, you know, I think that if Russell was on an average team, any other average team, he would just be an average player. I mean, that's just me. You know, I mean, you can chime in and say what you want, but I just think if he was on a Cleveland Browns team, he's not doing what he's doing right now.
Well, the Cleveland Browns might have a better offensive line than the Seahawks at this point.
they might.
So, Sean, I mean, he took Wisconsin to the Rose Bowl, the Wisconsin Badgers. When's the last time they were in a Rose Bowl? Hashtag almost never. He has done great things everywhere he has been. It's not his fault, meaning Russell Wilson, that Seattle's offensive line is porous and that the dam is broken because they've chosen to spend money elsewhere, and Russell Okung at left tackle is the only almost half all pro that they have on that offensive line.
You know, and those are great points that you mentioned. My thing is this: when you talk about elite quarterbacks, you talk about the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, at some point, all of America knows that if the game is on the line, you can actually rely on that quarterback to move that ball down the field and do some great things. I'm not sure that Russell Wilson is at that point. I'm not sure that he's the person that if you say, hey, if our back's against the wall and we're behind, that we can actually bring you and do what I can bring you and do what it takes to win the football game. The verdict is still out on that. And so, you know, and of course his career is young. But, you know, I mean, and you're the Seahawks fan, you know, and so you're right. I don't bleed the blue and the green, maybe you can point out a couple of games where Russell Wilson, on his arm, the strength of his arm, that he has actually won the games for you.
Sean, all I have to say to that is, was Russell Wilson on the field when the Legion of Boom let Greg Olsen in the end zone?
No, that and touche on that one. I'm not talking about the last game. I'm just talking about in recent memory, can you tell me a game to where you remember that Russell Wilson was the reason for winning that football game?
Well, just going off, okay, we just played Carolina. The Carolina game last year in Carolina, Seattle was down in the fourth quarter, and he brought them back to victory. He's done that multiple times. I mean, even going back to their last playoff loss, not counting the Super Bowl, his first year, 2012, the playoffs in Atlanta, Seattle was down 21, I believe. He brought them back, and it was not his fault they didn't win that game. It was, again, the defense that allowed the final, field goal. I'm going off hazy memory there, but that was a road game in Atlanta, and it didn't work out in Seattle's favor. But since then, they've won every single playoff game until last February in the Super Bowl. So his body of work is ridiculously amazing and awesome. I mean, let's put Aaron Rodgers with this offensive line right now. Let's put Tom Brady with this offensive line. How well are they doing?
And you bring up a valid point. And so, you know, so I guess for our listeners and our fans, Seahawk faithful, the biggest thing that needs to be corrected right now is the offensive line, to where it buys time for Seattle to actually move the ball up and down the field. Because when you're talking about time of possession, that's huge. When a defense is on the field quite a bit, it brings up room for a mistake. And we saw that yesterday against Carolina, to where, you know, if the defense was on the field long enough, the opposing team would find that error, and Cam Newton found that, you know, as far as, you know, in finding his great tight end in Greg Olsen. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that maybe they have to find that balance. And you know, it's going to happen in draft. It's going to happen in the offseason, you know, in free agency. But they have to beef up that offensive line.
Now, Sean, you grew up playing football, a football fan. You were a college athlete in other sports. You have coached at the high school level. You have friends that have played at the NFL level. What is the problem with Seattle's fourth quarter defensively in the secondary?
Well, yeah, I just mentioned it. It's time of possession. You know, when the opposing team has the ball on offense longer than you have on defense, at some point you're going to find that weakness, no matter how great you are. And it's been a strong success for Seattle to get off the field quickly when you have a Cam Chancellor that can, you know, leap over an offensive line and make a huge field goal block, or he can make a tackle doing the same thing, or you have people like Earl Thomas that can read offenses and read the quarterback's eyes and get picks. This year, those things aren't happening. They're on the field a little bit longer, and at some point you get fatigued, and as the game goes on, you know, it shows itself. And so if Seattle can get off the field quickly, and we'll find out this Thursday, if they can get off the field quickly, that bodes well for Russell Wilson. And that's when Seattle scores, you know, great amounts of points, and the game looks easy, and the receivers are involved, and the running backs are involved, and it looks great. But it hasn't been that way for the past few weeks.
And you mentioned a few things there that, okay, some keys to Seattle getting right. Let's have a healthy Marshawn Lynch. He's missed, what, two games in a row? I mean, he did play this last week, yesterday, at home against Carolina. Wasn't a big factor. A lot of that could be the offensive line. But, hey, Thomas Rawls had no issue the week prior at Cincinnati. So, man, there's just so many pieces that have to fall in place for things to go right as they have the previous 2 years. But let's not forget, last year Seattle was 3-3. They about imploded before they sent Percy Harvin packing, who was the cancer of 2014. Is anybody a cancer right now? Not that we know of. but something is wrong. There's a disconnect in that fourth quarter, and hopefully Thursday for Seahawks fans, the 12s, the 12th man, they'll get it right. Sean Boyd, before we end the show, we have not mentioned the Oakland Raiders, partly because they were on a bye, so they had the week off. But things haven't gone as smoothly as you and the Raider Nation would have liked. And Jack Del Rio, the head coach, former Seattle defensive linebacker coach, Ken Norton, who is the defensive coordinator now in Oakland. What do you think the off week has done for the team? And what do you expect this week?
Well, you know, as you mentioned that, of course, when you sense that your team is on the rise, you would like to have more wins than losses. The Raiders sit at 2-3 right now. And of course, when you look at the Chicago Bears game, that was a game that slipped away. They should have won that game, which put them even at 500. And then, of course, they played the Denver Broncos. And I talked the last week as far as nobody likes to talk about moral victories. But when you hold a Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos with the number one defense in the NFL to not scoring an offensive touchdown, and actually in the game it was 9-7 before, you know, the ill-fated interception, you know, that was thrown. You know, I think the Raiders are actually on par. They're right where they need to be. You know, when you talk to anybody outside the Raider Nation, and you ask them where the Oakland Raiders are going to finish, they're probably going to say something like 2-14. And so, you know, but the Raiders are actually a team to be reckoned with, and they're sitting in a good position. Last I checked, as far as if there was a playoff hunt or if there was a playoff picture in place right now, the Raiders are on the fringe as far as one of those teams in the hunt. They play San Diego coming off the bye, and of course, Philip Rivers had a phenomenal game yesterday, but of course it came ill-fated in a loss. He threw for 503 yards, and you know, he had a brilliant game. He has the weapons that he needs to, you know, to get the victory. But I believe that Oakland will actually do better than people think. San Diego, let's face it, Phillip's probably going to get his yards. One of the big talks in camp right now is Justin Tuck with a pectoral injury. He's out for the remainder of the season. He's on IR. Some are talking of this being his last year. Mario Edwards coming up as far as the rookie from Florida State. He is the next man up. And, you know, this is huge. This is huge for the Raiders to actually come out. Derek Carr, understanding that, you know, when there are mistakes happening, he takes the blame for it. You know, Latavius Murray, he's been in the doghouse for the past few weeks as far as a running back is concerned. There's talks that Jack Del Rio doesn't have faith in his young running back. This off week is something that will allow the Oakland Raiders to actually see what they can do to implement him. And with that being said, there are some young players that are actually stepping up and doing great things. Khalil Mack, you know, the defensive juggernaut that he is, and there's no doubt about it. If they don't make the playoffs or don't go to the Super Bowl, that he'll be a Pro Bowl player. Charles Woodson, man. You know, and this is funny. This is one of the – I remember being on – you and I were on one of the Seahawks shows, internet shows or broadcast podcasts a year ago, and I talked about – Charles Woodson being on the team, or one of the broadcasters talked about Charles Woodson. And they laughed and thought, man, this guy's old. He's a fossil. Well, gosh, man, he's got 5 interceptions. He had 2 last week on Peyton Manning. He, you know, he's got 5 interceptions on the year. This dude is actually going to go to the Pro Bowl this year. And I mean, he is the bright spot on that defense. So when you take that, the veteranism on the team, on the defense, and the young defensive players coming up, I think the Raiders will do well this weekend against San Diego.
And Charles Woodson, if I'm not mistaken, was in the same draft class as a Manning, and he's doing much better than Peyton this year.
You know, and he is, and this was the 1998 draft, Peyton Manning being in that draft, of course, feeling a little slighted, not being the Heisman Trophy winner that Charles Woodson was that year. There was a trivia question that was brought up, Sean Wally, and I don't know if our listeners know, But that trivia question is, who is the third active player right now from that 1998 draft? We've got Charles Woodson. We've got Peyton Manning. Who was that third player that is active right now from that 1998 draft? The only third and only player right now.
My guess would be Matt Hasselbeck. Top of my head. You know, he's 40 years old doing good things in Indianapolis.
You know, I should have put this as a question for the listeners and put a gift out, because, you know, leave it to Sean Wally, everybody, to know that it was Matt Hasselbeck, you know, a former Seahawk, to know that he was in that 1998 draft as far as the only active player, and Matt doing an awesome job playing for the Indianapolis Colts right now. And so, yeah, true. He is the third active player outside of those two.
So I'm curious, Mr. Boyd, are you saying it's my Seahawk prowess and 12th man allegiance that knew that, or my sports broadcaster knowledge? You are on the podium, sir.
You know, for the sake of the DSX show, I will say that it's both. But yes, you're right, man. You're right. Matt Hasselbeck doing an awesome job, you know, in quarterback. And you know, believe it or not, if it wasn't for Andrew Luck, I believe that he could probably start on a few teams as we speak. So hats off to Matt Hasselbeck as well.
Cleveland, Jacksonville, Houston. Houston, they need a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. You know, who would have thought, you know, that would be the topic? But, you know, Matt is smart. And before there was a Russell Wilson, there was a Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, let's face it, Matt Hasselbeck was a smart, savvy quarterback that could move the team up and down the field. It was just unfortunate that the new management came in and they thought Matt was old. Well, they were wrong, because Matt's still playing. And so, you know, it was great for Seattle to get a Russell Wilson, but, you know, there was still some play left in Matt. There were some great years when you're talking about that 2005 team, you know, with Sean Alexander and Matt Hasselbeck, you know, a great team that led them to the Super Bowl, and, you know, a controversial year, of course, because Seahawks fans know that there was controversy in the call. So, you know, Matt Hasselbeck did some great things for Seattle.
Well, Sean, this is our longest show by record, and we are approaching 130 shows here on the double. This is, just off the top of my head, half guessing, 126, somewhere close to that. So awesome that we've had that many shows. All three of us, you, myself, and our engineer at BBS Radio, Don Newsom, all in California, Northern California to be exact. So as I am here in the Elk Grove studios of On the Double, the DSX studios, I am going to let you send us out, but we must say a thank you to Terry Holloman at Terry Holloman on Twitter, former Washington Husky running back and co-host of the Barbershop at barbershop206.com with awesome insight here tonight. Sean Boyd, it's been a good show. It's been fun being here, even though I had to drive forever to get here. But hey, it's worth it, because A, we're together, and B, we get to experience Thursday Night Football.
That's exactly right. And of course, I know all of you will be tuned in to Thursday Night Football in America, and that is on the NFL Network. Yours truly and Sean Wally will be working for CBS for that great game, the Seattle Seahawks against the San Francisco 49ers in Northern California. Man, it's been a great show, and I'm always excited about these shows.
Wait. Timeout. Blow the whistle. I'm calling a timeout.
Timeout.
I thought, you know, the 12th man, the 12s, we thought it was 40 whiners.
Well, you know.
With that, I'm out.
Well, you know, the Seattle Seahawks get a chance to repeat what they did on Thanksgiving last year. Turkey at the 50. And so where that was Richard Sherman getting a chance to pull one of those turkey legs out there. But, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, will remember that, Sean. That's what's going to make this an awesome game. And so, you know, Seahawk faithful can call it the 40 whiners, but these guys are going to be ready to play.
A prediction from you, for Thursday night.
Ooh, well, you know, as we said on paper, the Seattle Seahawks are the better team. They are the team that has probably the best preparation. San Francisco 49ers going through a flux, a change in players, a change in the system. And so with that being said, I believe that experience will overcome the nuance of the San Francisco 49ers, even though it's a home game for the 49ers. And this is Super Bowl 50 year, and this is the home of Super Bowl 50. I believe the Seattle Seahawks will squeak this one out. And I believe that they'll squeak this one out. Go figure. The final score I have is 20-17, the Seahawks over the 49ers.
Is it a final possession, last-minute field goal by one Steven Hauschka that prevails Seattle?
Ooh, man, you're calling me out. And so as we speak, the first thing
somebody's got to call you out. Come on, yeah, Sean.
You know, the first thing that comes to my head is a Colin Kaepernick interception that seals the fate for the San Francisco 49ers.
Who is Kaepernick's favorite receiver?
Right now, Kaepernick's favorite receivers are the DBs for the other team.
Richard Sherman. Yeah,
so let's
expect Sherman's first pick of the 2015 season at the Buttonfly Stadium. Levi's Stadium.
I will do you one better, Sean Wally, since we picked the Seattle Seahawks to win. And I say that this is a nail biter. The interception, the pick that happens from Colin Kaepernick is from Cam Chancellor. You've heard it here.
Cam Chancellor, the strong safety that you might say has not been on his A game the last couple of weeks. Sean Boyd predicting he gets it right Thursday night in San Francisco/Santa Clara. My prediction for the game: it's go time. Backs are against the wall. Gangbusters. Pete Carroll's had enough of all of it. Seahawks 31. The San Francisco 49ers at their home, the Buttonfly Stadium. Oh, sorry. Levi's Stadium. I'll give them 13.
So it's an onslaught for the Seahawks against the 49ers. For Sean Wally, I say that it is a close game. Man, you guys got to tune in to see what that is all about. And so, you know, I look forward to seeing the outcome. I'm going to, you know, see that. I believe it's going to be a lot closer than 31-30, but we will see, man. That's why they play the games, as one famous broadcaster always says, man. So,
Don Newsom at the BBS studios, wake up. It's time to roll the clothes in just about 5 seconds. Go, Sean.
So as we always say on the Double S Express, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. Whoo, that's basketball talk, because basketball season's coming up. But man, this has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally, Sean Boyd in the EG studios, Don Newsom.
What's basketball?
Don Newsom in Paradise, California. You have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We will be there Thursday for the NFL Network game, Seahawks and 49ers, and talking to you next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.